Oh, it's so good to be back together. And, you know, we have some marvelous servants here at this congregation. Ones who pitch in, getting our meals ready, cleaning up. What marvelous servants. And I just can't get over it. And I'm so grateful for you and what you teach. And I pray we're teaching our young people same thing, to be servants. Serve one another. And that's what we need. Well, we probably won't take much time. We're going to be in Isaiah that was read a while ago, Isaiah 48. We're going to be talking about the God who doesn't change. And one of the things that for some way the years have gone by, we somehow got the idea that the God of the Old Testament, God of the New Testament are two different gods. A lot of times we look at the things that he dealt with back there and we say, well, that was a physical system. God was dealing with people under a physical system. And you know, that's not true. That is not true. God changed the covenant. He didn't change the way he operates and what he approves and what he disapproves. So when you go back and you start reading these Old Testaments, God's the same God. He's come forward under the new covenant. He deals with his people in the same way. It's just under the old, he was dealing with a nation. You know, when we look at Israel today, we see this nation in among over the Middle East and all that. Well, that was the nation of his people back here. And they still had a lot of the surrounding people around them. But God chose this nation. They were his people. And he chose to bless them. And today, we, the church, are Israel. Or Israel, however you want to say it. We are it. We are the chosen of God, just as they were back here. And so as you go back and we read a couple of things, I want to begin in verse 17. And I hope you pay attention carefully. I know you're tired. So I'm going to have your faith ears on, and I hope you listen. There's a major message, and every one of us needs to heed it. Verse 17. For thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. I, the Lord, teach you to profit. I mean, when you start thinking about that, you know what? You want to profit? You may have things in your life. Maybe you have, you know, in your job. Maybe you are self-employed, whatever. You want to profit? He says right here off the bat, I'm the one that can teach you how to profit. God is the one that if we will listen, we'll profit in our things. One of the quickest ways to destroy yourself is to stop listening to the Lord. I guarantee you. I've watched over the years so many people destroy their own lives because they quit listening. They get immune. They just kind of sit there. You are on a collision course. And I want to tell you, your life is going to get a whole lot harder down the road. But he says, I'm the Lord your God. I teach you to profit. God has your best interest at heart. You know, you think of our children. We always have our children's best interest at heart, don't we? Don't you always want the best for them? You remember your child, they'd come in crying, they wanted something, and you'd tell them, no. Oh, they just think their world falls apart, don't they? But what do you know? I'm telling you no because I want you to profit. Where I'm about to lead you, where I'm about to take you, is going to be for your betterment. They don't understand that. But if they would learn to trust the parent, just like if we would learn to trust God, it's going to be for our betterment. He says at the end, who leads you in the way that you should go. You know what? God will never lead you into anything harmful. Never. He will never lead you anything harmful, anything that destroys you. And Jesus says similar things in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. Jesus asked a question. What does a man profit if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What if you go out here and you have the best business on earth? What if you got the best job that you could have and you got all of the... What if you have everything and end up losing your soul? You tell me the gain. Tell me the gain. And he says here, what? I'll lead you in the way you should go, and it will always be one thing. God does everything with eternity involved. And we forget that. A lot of times when we say our prayers or we pray for people, do you pray with eternity involved? That's what God's working for. And so when God talks about leading you in the way you should go, when I'm teaching you how to profit, He does everything with eternity in mind. And that's the way He's always gone about things. And so you and I need to listen to God, because He's doing what He's going to do with you and for you, looking at eternity, and He's never going to let that go away. Look at verse 18. Look at where he continues this thing. If only you had paid attention to my commandments. He's talking to his people. You know where they're headed? They don't even know it. They're sitting maybe similar situation to what we are today, where we're sitting here and we're going to the temple and we're listening to the Word of God being read and spoken. They don't even know what's coming. They're about to be invaded. And a lot of them are going to be killed. A lot of the little children are going to be taken away. And he says, if only you paid attention. And it's heartbreaking to God. You know, I'm looking out for you. Look at the rest of 18. Then your well-being would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. You ever feel helpless? You ever feel in a time in your life, sometimes things going on, you just don't have a lot of confidence? Or you feel beat down? You know what you need to start doing? Paying attention, Lord. Because he said here, if you do that, you know what your well-being would be? It would be like this river flowing in. This peace, this help, these things coming to you. If you just listen to me, you could have it. Righteousness was going to be like the waves of the sea coming in. Can you imagine having your life being flooded with the things of God, with the goodness of God, with the greatness of God, and it just keeps coming in? He said, that's what it would have been like. That's what I wanted for you. That's what I have in mind for you. But you know what? You didn't pay attention and listen to me. And when you stop doing that, guess what stops coming in your life? The peace, the life, the righteousness, the things that God wants for us stops. You stop it. And God said, oh, I don't want that for you. How many of us have ever done something in our lives that you've regretted? I bet you can't think of anything, can you? I mean, we've done things and you just regret. I wished I'd have never done that. You know what? We could stop living with regrets if we would just pay attention. You won't have regrets, but you're going to have a lot of regrets if you don't pay attention. And he goes on into verse 19, and he's talking of the nation, and your descendants would have been like the sand, and your offspring like its grains. Their name would never be cut off or destroyed from my presence. You know what? And every one of us needs to hear it. Their descendants would have been, he's talking to Israel, of course, like the sand, the offspring like the grain. Every time you, as a parent, as a husband, as a wife, stop paying attention to God. You are harming your family. God doesn't change. He's the same God. The things that you're doing, the things that you choose, the things and directions you go in your life is having a drastic effect on your family. And he even tells, I mean, look what you could have had, Israel. You could have had descendants like the sand. You could have had offspring like the grains. But you know what? It's being cut off. And it's not because God wanted that. It's because they've stopped listening. And I want to tell you, I have watched over the many years, I've watched people ruin their life. And you can go back and you can point to the day they got hard, they quit listening, and now they pay a price. And it could have been avoided. It could have been avoided for Israel. It could have been avoided for me and you. Well, come down to chapter 49. We're going to look at verses 8 through 11 here. And the one point that I'm only going to make through it, life goes a lot easier when you pay attention to the Lord. Verse 8. Thus says the Lord, in a favorable time I have answered you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. And I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people to restore the land, to make them inherit the desolate heritages. Now, the first part of that verse, I don't know if any of you have recognized it. Where he begins, a favorable time I answered you. There was a day of the salvation I helped you. Paul quotes this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. You cried out to me. God said, I heard you. You asked God for salvation. God said, I gave you my ear. I helped you then. And I want to keep giving. And I want to keep helping. And so he wants them to know that God doesn't forget. We do. God doesn't forget. He says in verse 9, saying to those who abound, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Along the roads they will feed, and all the pasture will be on all the bare heights. I mean, what's happened in Israel, just real quick, when he's talking about the roads they'll feed, the bare heights, these nations swoop down through Israel and they take away all of their stuff. And they burn all of their produce. And they got nothing to eat. They have no pasture land. And God's saying, you know, I heard the day when you cried out to me. I know all of that. And I'm telling you, come out. I'm telling you, go forth. Come on. I'm calling you out of hiding, that if you'll come out and you'll look at me and let me be God, you know what? We're going to give you the pasture back. We're going to give you the grazing of the ground. You're going to be able to find food along the road. I'm going to restore things because I'm God. Things are going to go better if you'll listen to me. And he's calling them out to do that very thing. Verse 10, they will not hunger or thirst, nor will the scorching heat or sun strike them down. For he who has compassion on them will lead them and will guide them into the springs of water. I will make all my mountains a road, and my highways will be raised up. He's using this exaggerated language in those of you in class on Sunday mornings, we're going through the book of Revelation. This is the same language used in Revelation 7. How he's going to help and how he's going to turn things around. The scorching heat, the idea that God is going to protect and be their God. But the point is, it goes smoother when you walk with the Lord. It always goes smoother. And God always helps at those times. Well, if you'll move down to verse 14, he's going to make one, verses 14 through 16, he's going to make one statement here or one thought that sometimes we get so far that we away that we think God forgets us. Look at verse 14. But Zion said, Zion is Jerusalem, okay? Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me. You know, sometimes we have difficulties and we feel sorry for ourselves. You ever been there? You feel sorry for yourself and you think, how did I get in this? God hadn't forgotten you. It's that you've forgotten God. He says in verse 15, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. I mean, take a mother. Mothers don't forget their children. I love talking to the women and listen to their motherhood come out. It's neat because, you know, they don't forget their children. Even if their children have drifted off into things, oh, mothers don't forget. They know. But I've also seen the other side of it. I have watched over the years where mothers walk out on their family and leave their children. That one I've never understood. And you've gone really into a dark place for any woman, for any father to walk away from their children. That's about as dark and as lost as you can get. And he says, even though you may forget, God says, I don't. God never forgets His people. Verse 16. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. You ever write a note on your hand? Oh, yeah. God said, right there you are. Your name is inscribed. I don't forget you. But God, it's so tough. I'm trying to lead you and teach you and give you the better. Don't kick your heels up at me. I'm trying to do it, but I'm not going to forget. And sometimes when we get off into sin, we get thinking God's forgotten us. No, you've forgotten God. And God doesn't change. Well, let's get a quick application to this. Come over to Romans chapter 2 and we'll apply it and leave you with a lesson. Romans chapter 2. Look at verse 4. Romans 2:4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Ah, you know what? God tolerates. God's patient. A lot of times you and I go off maybe in an attitude. A lot of times we may wander astray. You know what God's waiting for? He's waiting for us to return. He's tolerating. He's being patient. But there's one thing that stays intact about God. Kindness. You think little of His kindness to lead you, to teach you. But look at verse 5 in contrast with it. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of the wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. What happens when people are stubborn and rebellious? Just like we were reading back in Isaiah. What do you do? What is God going to do? He said, you know what? Every day you go off in rebellion, every day you stay stubborn, every day you refuse to listen to God, you know what's happening? You're storing up wrath for yourself. You're unrepentant. Wrath's being stored. It's a banking term, the idea of being stored. It's every day we're charging interest. But this interest is the wrath of God. And now it's being stored up, and it's going to come, you're going to come to a term having to pay one day. You don't want to be stubborn. You don't want to be unrepentant. You want to be tender because God has our best interest at heart. And so he goes on to say in verse 6, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good, seeking for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. I'm a fair God. I give everybody what they want. For people that seek me, that persevere, stay in there, don't quit on me, and they seek for my glory. They seek for my immortality. They seek for my honor. To those I give eternal life. But what about the others? Verse 8. But to those who are selfishly ambitious, there's a word, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation. Boy, selfishness doesn't pay. Selfishness never pays. Disobeying truth doesn't pay. No, we see it back in Isaiah. I'll destroy you because you want to be destroyed rather than profit, walk in my way. Verse 9. There will be tribulation and distress. For every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Huh. You want to have troubles on your soul? Forget God. You want to have distress in your life? Stop paying attention to God. Because it's guaranteed trouble and distress on your soul. That's where all the pain comes from. That's what God's watching out for, is watching out for our souls. So from the old to the new, we see the same picture flowing. God doesn't change. He told Israel, this is what I want for you, and I'm not forgetting you. Problem is, you stop paying attention to me. To the church, he says the same thing. You don't want to seek the things I want sought? I've got your best interest in heart? Then it means you want the opposite of that, and I'll make sure you find it. You can have all the troubles you want, all the distress. This is going to be on your soul, and you'll know it well. Learn that God doesn't change. Learn God cares, and He wants your best.